I'm part of Fontana House Church. So first off, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess I've worried more about how I appear to others than really what is deep inside me. Forgive me for cleaning the outside of the cup rather than the inside. Release me from the power of the law and free me into the wonders of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now we're going to be watching a video that's going to take us through Mark chapter 7, verses 1 to 23.
Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." And he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?' Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, 'What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person.'"
And I will be going through the devotion on the One app. Our world fundamentally misunderstands the nature of sin. Like the religious leaders of Jesus' day, many religions today emphasize that a person becomes spiritually defiled or unclean because of something that comes from the outside of the body, such as eating certain foods, but this couldn't be further from the truth. Jesus tells us the real source of sin and defilement, our hearts. Eating certain foods does not break our fellowship with God. Rather, the evil thoughts and actions that come from our hearts separate us from God. What is our only hope in light of this eternal corruption? It's Jesus, who alone can cleanse us from our sins and gives us new hearts that long to please him. Now I'll be reading from Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit of God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Amen. So today, I actually wanted to focus a little bit more on the Romans passage of the devotional and speak a little bit about how that spoke to me. So as we can see, this part of Romans actually deals with the law. And so when I think about the word the law, I think of things that are good. You know, it is needed and it helps us to bring order to things. So when I was reading this and I was looking at different commentaries, or at just first glance, I was like, wait, what? The law isn't a good thing? You know, it keeps us captive. It brings out my sinful passions. But of course, with everything, we need to read it in context. So let's bring it back a little bit and read it in context. So as we can see at the beginning of this passage, Paul is speaking to the Pharisees. As he says, he's speaking to those who know the law. And so these laws that are kept by the Pharisees are there to keep one holy. It is their means to salvation. And it is in order for us to be in right standing with God, we have to keep all of these Mosaic laws. And that's all 613 of them, which is pretty much impossible for anyone to do, except for maybe Paul. Because in Philippians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul says, according to the righteousness stipulated in the law, I was blameless. And so he had accomplished in being blameless, but that was in the sight of the law. That only actually dealt with the outward appearance of abiding by the law. That only dealt with all the rituals and all the ceremonies that the law had actually prescribed. So Paul was actually proud about being blameless. He was proud that he was able to keep these laws to appear blameless in front of these laws. But pride can also be seen as the root of all sin. Like it says in 1 John, that pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And so when I was thinking about this and trying to apply it to myself, I was thinking, you know, in what areas in my life have I felt prideful because I had kept the law, where I was doing things for Christ, but in actual fact, it was because of my own fear or is about my own pride, my own ego. And I can for sure pinpoint this and see how I've done that in the past when it came to serving at SP. And so for a period of time at SP, I felt like nobody was serving. Nobody but me. I was the only one that was serving. I was a house church leader. I was on the worship team. I was welcoming. I was part of Homies. I was also leading Ikape. And at that time, I was also interning at church. And so when I looked at the body, all I could think was, where is everybody? Why is nobody serving? You know, SP says you have to serve. And so where is everybody who's coming out of GIC? Is in the point of GIC to serve? So where are you? Why aren't the house church leaders asking their people to serve when, in actual fact, I don't think I really asked my people to serve? But that was me. That was the pride in me that caused me to look down on others and to judge others for not serving, even though they might be serving not inside the church, but outside of the church. That, yeah, it caused me to judge other people based on the way that I thought that they should serve, on how they should serve. And so during that period, soon, I could feel myself starting to burn out. I continued to serve, not because I felt a conviction to, but because I believed SP said that I should serve, that I had to serve. And so that's how I just kept going. It no longer brought joy. It wasn't out of conviction that I felt from God, but it was a obedience to the law. And that was out of responsibility. And of course, it was coming out of my own strength. And as the passage says in verse 5, we were living in the flesh when the law aroused our sinful passions. And that's when the work of our members bore the fruit of death. And at that moment, I was living out of my own flesh. The so-called law of SP had began to feed the pride within me. I wasn't serving out of a relationship or holy communion with Christ. And because of that, I wasn't bearing fruit of the Spirit. I could feel that every time I served or even just thinking about serving, I could feel the life being drained out of me, being sucked out of me. It became a hassle. It became a hindrance to what I wanted to do. You know, Sunday was supposed to be my Sabbath, but I had all these different things that I had to do. Where did I have time for myself? So I was just stuck in that place of serving. And of course, people would be like, oh, why don't you just step down from one or even two of these ministries? And I couldn't do that at that time. Because in my mind, I was like, but then who's going to step into my shoes? You know, who's going to serve if I don't serve? And as well as like, how are people going to see me if I just simply step down? If I just, in a way, give up. Yeah. So I needed to stop living in the flesh. And serving was one of the ways in which I fulfilled my own pride and my own sense of purpose. I needed to turn away from that and go back to God and be convicted by his leading and not my own. And so these so-called laws, they're not necessarily bad. They do bring order and they are needed. But as the devotion states, the evil thoughts and actions that come from our hearts separate us from God. So it is actually us. It can be because of our upbringing. It can be because of the environment that we're in, our beliefs. It can be our shame, our fear. All of these things can twist the law in a way that it binds us and it keeps us captive. But ultimately, we are free in Christ. We have died to the law through the body of Christ, and that is the good news for us as believers. We don't need to do anything extra to earn God's love or his acceptance. We need to actually allow God to transform our minds and hearts, to release us from the power of the law and into the wonders of his grace. So as Marcus leads us in worship, let's spend this time meditating and just thinking about and asking God to reveal to us the things in our lives where we feel like we are keeping the law for God, but actual fact, it's feeding our pride. It's feeding our ego. It's actually a serving out of fear. And let's just ask God to reveal that to us so that we can die to that part of the law as well, and to be freed from that.
Interactive Brokers charges 1.59% for a 100,000.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been here 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for those with special needs, especially for children, for those given the responsibility of caring for them. We pray for wisdom and the special ability to instill hope and a future. May we as a society become more aware of those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's go into a time and praying for our community. Let's pray for those who are going through cancer, chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's lift these people up. Next, let's pray for those who are sick, but also need to know Jesus. Let's pray for those of us who have non-cancer related illnesses. Next, let's pray for those who are looking for jobs, that God will be opening doors for them and different opportunities. On to our mission focus for the U.S., for SPNY, for Ruth, Jess, and Kelly, for North Korea, that there would be open doors for ministry, for different missional opportunities and partnerships within Asia, as well as the persecuted churches in the Middle East. Let's pray for the weekend gatherings, for Sunday service, the Well, for SB Kids, for worship team, for the hospitality team, SB Youth, Spin and Spill services and activities, migrant worker classes, and all the different meetings that are going on this weekend. Next, let's pray for Alpha, which actually starts today. Let's pray that there will be guidance by the Holy Spirit, there will be guest signups and protection over all the volunteers. Next, let's pray for House Church that are meeting today, Hollywood, Mawan, and Southside. Lastly, let's lift up Hong Kong up in our prayers for the considerable wealth gap that's widening, for there to be reconciliation and trust between the people and the government, especially during this COVID times. Let's just lift up Hong Kong and everybody who's in it. Thank you, Father. Words of this weekend. Father, we just pray for the Saturday and Sunday this weekend to really be our Sabbath, that we would be able to come to you and to rest well. Father, help us to realize what kind of laws that we've put upon ourselves that will keep us captive, that will keep us stuck where we are, and help us to break those chains and those things that are binding us. Father, we just thank you again for giving us this privilege and this opportunity to come together to worship you this morning. We thank you and we love you. In your Son's own name we pray. Amen. Have a good weekend, guys.